What can the incredible properties of sound do to the human body? In a moment, Jonathan Goldman joins us. His latest work is called The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. That's just one of the things we'll be talking about with him on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Jonathan Goldman back with us, an international authority and pioneer in the field of sound healing. He's the author of a number of books, including Healing Sounds, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, and his latest, The Humming Effect. Jonathan is the director of the Sound Healers Association, president of Spirit Music in Boulder, Colorado. Jonathan has been named as one of the Watkins Mind Body Spirit magazine's 100 most spiritually influential living people. Congratulations on that, Jonathan, and welcome back to the program.
Hey, George, it's really good to speaking to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You were with our Lisa Garr about 3.5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, she's a wonderful being, and yes, I was with you a long, long time ago, before a lot of my new books came out. So it's great to be talking to you now.
Almost in the beginning of me starting this program.
Indeed, indeed.
So what's new with you?
Life continues to be really, really interesting, and I got to say that the interest in sound has just blossomed since I first began this work close to 40 years ago, and it's reaching the stage where yoga was 10 years ago. Now, so many different people are interested in the power of sound to heal and transform, and it's a real blessing to be able to just share with you and your audience and all people throughout the planet about how sound can be used to really make us feel better.
Really, it's incredible. How did you get involved in all of this, John?
All right, real quick story. I can't make it too quick, but I was playing in the Seaside Bar in Marshfield, Massachusetts, and around 1980, I came in from a break, strapped on my Stratocaster, started playing guitar, looked out at the audience, and I had the thought. I said, oh, my goodness gracious. If you like, the ambiance of the club is one of negativity and violence for sure, but I realized that the music that I was creating at the time was helping induce this ambiance of negativity. And I thought, gee, I wonder if music can be used to make people feel better. I've been playing professionally for 15 years at that point, and I had that one thought, and it shifted over about a week, and it became, what if sound can be used to heal? Doors opened up. I basically got a master's degree from Lesley University, started writing books, and thus far we have now sound manifesting on the planet. What a blessing.
Brilliant, brilliant. There was a professor years ago. He's dead now. His name was Dr. Emoto.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard about him. And what he did experiments for people who might not remember him. He did experiments with water crystals. And what he would do is he'd have two batches of water, and he'd freeze them after he played music at them. Some would be just what we would call wretched music, and the other would be pleasant and easy listening. And then he'd freeze the water and cut it and look at it under a microscope. And all the water crystals that he looked at under a microscope that got bombarded with this wretched-type music looked horrible. I mean, just discombobulated. And then the crystals under the microscope that he had played this easy listening mood music to looked gorgeous. How does that happen, Jonathan?
Well, George, I want to just jump into that because Dr. Emoto's work is wonderful, and I had the pleasure of doing food with him, and he did some of my music under his stuff. But the most impressive thing that I ever saw him do was he took water from the Fujiwara Dam in Japan, which is polluted. And, you know, polluted water looked like mud. He would basically take the water, freeze it, and as it was thawing out, he would look at it under a dark field microscope, and it would take on, if it had different positive energies, it would take on beautiful crystalline shape. And if it had negative energies, polluted water would look like mud. Well, here was this mud from the Fujiwara Dam, and then he took the water, and he gave it to a Buddhist priest who chanted a mantra for 20 minutes. He re-photographed it, and this water then looked like a snowflake.
Wow.
And it was just so impressive to me. I said, okay, if how much of our body is composed of water? How much of our planet is composed of water? And how it can be restored and put into its pristine crystalline shape through sound and intention.
And I think everybody that will probably call you next hour would agree that a good song, something that they like or remember, or it's heartwarming to them, makes them feel better. It's amazing.
Can I ask you a question, George? At the top of the hour, was that Dean Martin?
That was Dean playing that song.
My father was a plastic surgeon, ear, nose, and throat guy, plastic surgeon, and he did Dean Martin's nose.
No.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. He did a good job.
He did. He was a prize fighter before that, believe it or not.
Yeah, he got punched out a couple times.
Right.
Was his nose broken, or did he just go there to...
Yeah, it was pretty bad. My dad was one of the great pioneers of plastic surgery, so it's very interesting that I figured out that we were both actually in the field of working with the, you know, ear and throat level. He worked with Sinatra, too, believe it or not.
Well, that's fantastic.
Didn't do Frank's nose, but he did do a Frank's throat. That's a whole other story.
And Frank got a couple of his front teeth knocked out in a fight.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
But an amazing man. And, you know, talking about intentionality, here was a man who knew how to encode, really, his songs with this incredible emotion.
Yes.
And I don't know if he basically, it was a very good year when he was, you know, 64 or whatever he was, but he really made you feel it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I don't think he was the world's greatest singer. I've heard people with better voices. But he had a way of making those words come alive and made people feel good when they listened to him.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When you talk about sound healing, what are those principles?
Technically, I like to say that the idea of sound healing first begins with the concept of the ancient mystics and our modern quantum physicists being in agreement that everything is in a state of vibration. From the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom to planets and distant galaxies moving around their suns. They're all in a state of motion. If they're creating some sort of motion vibration, they're conceptually creating a sound. And this goes for our body. Every organ, every bone, every part of our body is in a state of vibration. And when we are in health, we're like this wonderful orchestra that's playing the symphony of the self, and we say that we're in sound health. But what happens if the second violin player loses their sheet music? They begin to play out of tune, out of harmony.
Yep.
Pretty soon the entire string section is off. Pretty soon the entire orchestra is off. This is like a part of our body vibrating out of ease, out of harmony. We say it's diseased. So the basic concept of using sound as a healing modality is simply to give the string player back the sheet music, to restore that part of the body that's vibrating out of its proper resonant frequency to its true harmonic self.
Jonathan, I want to give folks an idea of what we're talking about here, and you sent us an excerpt from Frequencies, Sound of Healing. This clip is called Convergence.
Can I just say a moment about that, George?
Yeah, I want you to set it up for me. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick, there are two ways that sound affects us. One way is the sound goes into our ears, affects our brain, our heart rate, our respiration, our brain waves. The second way is called vibroacoustics. The sound goes into our body, affecting us on a cellular level. This is an example of psychoacoustics, the sound. So for people who are listening, just check yourself out how you feel. We're going to listen to just a couple of minutes, but there are all these frequencies that are designed to slow down your bodily rhythms. Check yourself out.
And feel free to talk over it with us as we're listening to it, Jonathan, to give people an idea of what it is. Let's listen. Is that like a waterfall we hear behind us?
Yeah, that is actually a waterfall. That was recorded from the pond in my backyard.
It's got a nice spa feeling to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's encoded with frequencies that are designed to really induce deep relaxation.
All right, so people listen to that. What happens to their bodies, to their mind?
Well, I think, first of all, you begin to breathe slower. That's number one. As soon as you start breathing slower, your heart rate and respiration go down, your brain waves go down. So ultimately, it all has to do with the breath. And so that's among one of the extraordinary things is that sound. We entrain. Entrain means that our physical rhythms, including our brain waves, will basically synchronize with the rhythms of different types of music and sound. And this music that we just were listening to, it's great for relaxation, and it's great if you want to chill out if you're stressed out. But if you are trying to, for example, do a workout, you don't want to listen to music like that.
No.
Because actually, I tried it once, and I was on a treadmill, and I fell off of it.
You fell asleep,
I put on the
right?
Stones, and, you know, stones have good aerobic rhythms. All right, yeah.
Yeah, Peloton would not be using that kind of music, would they?
No, I don't think so.
That's interesting, though, that it would work like that. And it starts to physically heal the body when you hear music like that?
Well, I think that one of the really important things to remember is that for the most part, let me ask you, I mean, how much of what we experience as imbalances that we call dis-ease or sickness is caused by stress?
Probably a lot.
You know, so if you can begin to reduce stress, and I am not by any means suggesting that music was called Convergence, and it's from a recording of mine called Frequencies, and it's a very, very popular recording for, you know, on different, playlists of Spotify, Amazon, all this other stuff. But I'm not suggesting that any one type of music is healing all the time. I like to say that depending upon the time, the place, and the need of the individual, different types of music work. For example, here we are, you know, pretty late at night, and for the most part, if we were to listen to that type of music on a consistent basis, a lot of your listeners would be nodding out. We don't want that.
That's true. They'd fall asleep, or somebody in a car might doze off, right?
Exactly.
Driving.
Yeah. Although I will admit that I did this one recording that is very, very powerful. It's called Angel Sound. It was just designed to, like, almost throw people into a psychotropic experience. And back a while ago, when they still had cassettes, I gave this one guy who was a truck driver. And about a year later, I saw him, and he said, I love that recording of yours. I used it going across country all the time. I said, you're not supposed to use that when you're driving. He said, works for me.
I love it. And speaking of working, how does it work? What is it doing to us?
Well, George, once again, two different ways that sound affects us. One, it goes into our ears, psychoacoustics, and the other is it goes into our body, called vibroacoustics.
Okay.
And this is where it goes into our body, affecting us on a cellular level and actually changing us down to our DNA. As an example, boy, This is not new. New York Times Science section, February 8th, 1988, says sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. And then the next one is, and levitate objects, which gets us into the whole concept of moving the pyramids with sound, which I would not like to go into right now, but it's a great topic.
Oh, it's a great, and I've always thought they use sound resonance to move those blocks.
Acoustic levitation is a really interesting phenomena.
You have to have the right frequency and the right sound, don't you?
Well, I would say that that's probably really true, and we could do a whole show just talking about different theories on acoustic levitation, from the Coral Castle in Florida, to mm-hmm. the pyramids, to the fact that supposedly in the 1940s, this doctor by the name of Yarl was over in Tibet, and he saw these Tibetan monks literally levitating these huge rocks up to the top of a cliff where they were building a monastery, and he filmed it, and then when he went back to Europe, the film got seized and never got released.
Oh, geez. Now, when you say the humming effect,
yeah,
what do you mean by that?
Well, it was, I wanted to call it the humming hypothesis, but I thought that the humming effect was a better term. All right, so here's the do. I've been in this field for about 40 years, and I've worked with all sorts of amazing mantras, overtones, tuning forks, all sorts of different, and I have a gazillion of them even around here as I'm talking to you. But my wife, Andy, and I, because I've been teaching now with my wife for about 25 years, which I will tell you is one of the great successes of relationship, is marry somebody that you can teach with and be in love with, and it's a great thing. But we realize that most people, the voice is probably the most healing instrument. And the reason for this is that, number one, it doesn't require electricity. We don't need batteries, and the owner's manual is relatively easy to use. And also, we can program intentionality on to the sound that we make really easily. We talked a little about Dr. Emoto's work, and I'd like to talk about intention more in a moment. But in terms of the humming effect, we were looking for just a sound that everybody could make and not feel self-conscious. Because, George, since shows like American Idol, people have gotten very, very, very self-conscious about their voice. You know, this is pitchy or that's this or that. So they judge themselves. And they said, well, what's the one sound that we can make that people will not judge themselves? Went, the hum. Babies hum, the elderly hum, people hum when they're happy and they don't. As far as we know, I've never met anybody who actually judged themselves and said, I'm not a good hummer. Everybody can hum. So we decided to write a book about humming. And the reality is that, as we began to explore it, it was a fascinating subject, fascinating. And the therapeutic benefits were incredible. And we said, how are people going to take some concept like humming seriously? We said, well, we have to make the first chapter nothing more or less than what they call peer review or scientific research on the physiological effects of humming. And that is actually what the first chapter of the humming effect is. And would you like to hear some of the different physiological benefits that occur when we hum?
Well, sure.
Okay. Increased oxygen in the cells, lowered blood pressure and heart rate, increased levels of melatonin, great for sleep.
Sure.
Reduced levels of stress-related hormones like cortisol, release of endorphins, those wonderful self-created opiates that work as natural pain relievers. You get increased levels of nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator that relaxes and widens blood vessels. And actually, another thing about nitric oxide is that it is a
antiviral thing, isn't it?
You got it, man. And there has actually been research. The first research came from the Karolinska Institute back in 2006, where they did this major paper on the paranasal humming as an antiviral agent. Read between the lines.
I've been taking supplements for years that help you produce nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably been...
If you just hum, and the reality of what we call it conscious humming. In our book, The Humming Effect, which is an award-winning, actually best-selling book, one of the key secrets of that, George, is simply to hum something on a single note. So in other words, you're not doing zippity-doo-dah. You're just going, for an extended, and then you take another note.
Yeah, how long do you do that for?
Okay, for maximum nitric oxide humming, you do four or five hums with a nice breath in between, and then you stop for about 2 or 3 minutes so that the nasal cavity, the cells in it, can regenerate.
But how long do you hum?
You hum for about four or five times.
But I mean, how long each time?
Well, let's see. When I hum... it probably was about 15, 20 seconds.
Oh, that's not bad. Hold on for a second, Jonathan. We're coming up on a break. We're going to come back in just a moment and talk more about your incredible work. Truly is remarkable. We're going to take calls with Jonathan Goldman next hour here on Coast to Coast as we talk about the amazing effects of humming, the humming effect, sound healing for health and happiness, and perhaps you can share a story or two with us as well. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan, so you're saying if you hum four times, 20 seconds apiece, a little break in between, What then will happen to us?
Well, I got to stop, George. During the break, I was timing myself, and I was just humming for about 10 seconds apiece, because 20 seconds is somebody with a really good
A lot of air in your lungs.
So even 10 seconds and taking a nice deep breath, 10 seconds, you do it for four times, so you get 15 times the normal amount of nitric oxide that is generated in your body. And this has actually been shown to be enough to be an antiviral agent. So you stop for two or three minutes, and then you do it again, stop for a few couple minutes. And so if somebody has got, you know, even a blocked nose, or I've had students tell me about treating sinusitis, remarkable, for example, and it's really, really effective. And it's something as, an adjunct to whatever else you're doing that might be very helpful.
Will whistling do the same thing?
You will not get the same vibroacoustic effect. Now, George, I have to sort of ask you to do this and ask if you would. Would you, first of all, the only caveat when you hum is that you have to have your lips closed, okay?
Okay.
Would you hum for like a couple, start humming and then just immediately pinch your nostril and tell me what happens?
All right.
Are you game for that?
And when you say pinch your nostril, just like push it down?
Pinch it and block the air.
Okay. Just both of them or just one?
Both, please.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay, I didn't do this right, because if you pinch your nostrils, yeah, I'm going to do it. You can't hum if your nostrils are pinched.
Let me try that. No, you can't. How come?
That's the whole thing. If you think about it, if you open your mouth, the sound starts going through your mouth.
It shuts it off. It's amazing.
Right. So humming is actually the most powerful vibroacoustic sound that we can make.
But that's bizarre. How by simply pinching your nostrils, you can't hum.
Right. And
it shuts it off.
And I know a number of people who are very adept at sound healing, and they're amazed at that. And I said, okay, if you didn't know that about the hum, do you think there are other things about it that you might not have known? Here's one for people who are into yoga and stuff like that. In the Yoga Sutras, which is this book that's thousands of years old, written by a guy named Patanjali, Sutra 1.27 says the original sound of creation was the humming of prana, pranava. They had to give it a name, so they called it Om. So the Om actually came from the hum.
What if you had 1,000 people all humming at the same time?
Well, that's an incredible experience to have, and oftentimes, it's just an amazing phenomenon. What if these people hummed or did any sort of sound, and they had an intentionality that was positive, and they projected this intentionality toward the planet, which is the concept of this event that's actually happening on February 14th, and it's the 20th annual World Sound Healing Day.
Valentine's Day.
That's right. And it's a day when, 20 years ago, I got the message to, if you like, okay, that I had been, teaching people how to use sound as a healing modality for personal healing, and it was now time to begin to, if you like, figure out how to use sound for planetary healing. So every year on Valentine's Day, and it's just grown and grown and grown. And now there are just tens of thousands of people throughout the planet who take part in this event. They hum, they do ahs, they do om, we've got Tibetan monks, we've got people who are playing crystal bowls and jazz musicians and whatnot, because I finally decided that it was not particularly the music that you're doing, but the intentionality that you put onto it that really is the most important thing.
A lot of people are uptight because of COVID lately, Jonathan. Would this help them too?
Another thing, what's really interesting about humming, just as an example, is that it also causes the release of oxytocin, which is the trust hormone, and I think one of the things that's happened now is we've lost a lot of trust in each other, and we need to be kinder to each other. So we have a website, which is worldsoundhealingday.org, And we have this events portal that people can go to. And right now we've got over 120 different events from throughout the planet. In the next few days, it'll probably be populated by 200 or even 300 events. And people can go to World Sign Healing Day and just check out. And it's free, totally free. And they can check out and attend one of these events. And it's a beautiful experience. And the only thing that we ask is that when people do these events, that they, whatever sound they create, they do it with the intention of gratitude and appreciation. And there's a reason for that.
At what point do people start seeing a change when they start doing this?
I think that actually, if you were to even just, if we were to, and we're not going to, but if we were to even do 3 or 4 hums together, and have people who are listening do that, they would feel, even in that 3 or 4 times that we were talking about, a stillness and a shift within them. I know it sounds crazy. Most people go, you know, they're moving all around.
Right,
but
right.
Just to do what we call conscious humming, where you do hit one note, you do deep breathing, and if you can, close your eyes just to really feel it more, it's quite amazing, the resonance and the shift in the nervous system that occurs. One of the things that also happens when you hum is you get increased heart rate variability, which is a way that you can indicate how relaxed your nervous system is, and it creates what they call high vagal tone, which also indicates really deep relaxation. So, almost, you know, if somebody's about to go into a meeting and they're stressed out, or they got to go on a Zoom and they're stressed out, just taking a couple of deep breaths and doing some nice you will feel it almost immediately within 30 seconds. It's crazy and it's real.
What do medical professionals say about something like this? Do they jump on board and say this works? A psychiatrist, for example?
Well, George, as I was saying, there's this wonderful paper that was it's a 50-page paper that's available from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, and it's a paper on nasal humming as an antiviral agent. So, you know, a few doctors know about it, but on a level, because it's not a pharmacological product.
I mean, this is not something you'd want to tell Fauci about, right?
Well, here's a quote from Bruce Lipton, who you may know. About,
I know Bruce. Sure.
Right, and he said, "The humming, you know, he said, I highly recommend the humming effect for all those impacted by the stress of the modern world. It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for healing that has only positive side effects such as harmony, health, and happiness."
That's fantastic. It really is. I mean, I'm going to try it. You have nothing to lose.
You got nothing to lose, and it's real. And, I mean, you know, once again, having been in this field for 40 years and having done some of the most complicated mantric harmonic chants and working with all sorts of crazy frequencies, which I love. I love instruments and toys. I've got all these great sound instruments, some of them which are very, very expensive and very effective. But here I am, back to the hum. Because it's something everybody can use. I like to say it's a gateway sound, because it basically opens people up to the power of sound to heal and transform.
Does it matter?
Everyone can do.
Does it matter the tone of the hum, higher pitched, lower pitched? Does that matter?
I'd say just whatever A is comfortable, and B, close to your normal speaking voice, so that.
Okay. All right.
And once again, projecting the, you know, your intention. What's your purpose? I did a radio show not long ago. Woman was saying, "Hey, I tried it, and you know, I cured myself of a migraine." Other people can cure can heal themselves of other problems, depending upon where they're focusing the intention, and how long they do it. It's quite amazing.
But you say you really only need to do it 3 or 4 times.
That'll make a difference. I have a humming practice for 5 minutes a day. My wife and I hum for 5 minutes a day, and it's great. And if you're having trouble sleeping at night, try humming. It can wake you up or help you sleep, depending upon what your intention is.
Boy, if you do it in a hotel room, you think your neighbors will hear you?
Well, that's the cool thing about humming is that most of the time people do not really hear other people humming. Did you ever hear of Dr. John Lilly?
I don't think so.
Okay, so he is the guy that the movie The Day of the Dolphin was based on, and also the movie Altered States. He was
okay,
a medical doctor.
I've heard of the movies, yeah.
And he did a whole lot of work with dolphins and all that. And about 30 years ago, I was sitting on a lanai in Hollywood Hills. Somebody was giving a party for the two of us, and he's sitting there, and he's about 80 years old, and this guy's gone through every psychotropic in existence. He's got a PhD. He's an MD with a PhD in psychotropics, and he's sitting there, and he's humming. Finally, after a couple of minutes, I said, John, I said, are you doing that consciously? George, you don't ask a man who's written all these books on consciousness if he's doing it consciously. So he lectured me for a half hour going, young man, which I was back then, said, I no longer know what consciousness is. But I realized that he had figured out something about humming that it was actually one of the keys that said, gee, what did Lilly know that I don't know?
And how did he know it? Did he stumble into it?
He never told me. he made me figure it out for myself. Listen, there is actually a really advanced yogic technique called Brahmari Pranayama, and that simply is humming and oftentimes blocking your ears and doing it for 5 or 10 minutes. And it's quite amazing. It's an advanced yogic technique. Anybody who's into yoga can check it out. Probably a lot of yoga teachers will know about this.
It is remarkable. And medically, how does that work? How does it solve issues medically?
How does it solve issues? All right, so one of the things it does, of course, it lowers heart rate and blood pressure almost immediately. It's so wonderful.
Just by humming.
If
you're going in
kidding.
For one of those blood tests, you know, some people have what they call white coat syndrome.
I do.
You know, where you see the doctor and your blood pressure goes up 20 points just,
oh my goodness.
Just
yes,
by
indeed.
Walking. So this would help.
It does help, and it can reduce it to almost pharmaceutical levels in a short amount of time. So heavily on that, and just doing that alone. Is like, you know, how wonderful if we can reduce stress simply by humming. And other aspects of it are, here's one that somebody, I think, is going to win a Nobel Prize with this one. You ready for it?
Yep.
In our book, The Humming Effect, we have a chapter which is called The Humming Hypothesis. And bottom line, The Humming Hypothesis talks about the fact that many years ago, I was involved in a PhD program, and I dropped out. But the PhD program was to investigate what I called the vibroacoustic effects of self-created sound to create new neural synaptic connections, new connections in the brain. And I never was able to do the research. But with humming, for example, we have a whole chapter on how, for example, the microtubules in the brain may be vibrating and how you might be able to do this. And I have anecdotal information, you know, the story that the plural of anecdote is data. And here's just a real fast story. My mother-in-law had a stroke, and she was down in Florida, and I was speaking to her, and I could tell from her voice that she was having problems.
Yeah.
And she was in her 80s, and a lovely woman. I said, hey, would you do me a favor? Find out from your doctor where the stroke was, and just for 5 minutes a day, just focus the hum on the area of the stroke. And I called her the next day, and her voice was still the same. Then I called her the next day, and I noticed a difference. Next day was better. Next day was gone. George, maybe it's coincidence, or maybe
I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah. So I think that we're going to find out that you can make new neural synaptic connections, because if you can vibrate and you play enough around with humming, you'll be able to feel that you can vibrate your skull. I'm not going to get into the anatomy, but if you can do this and send the sound there, then perhaps you can break up stuff that is blocked. It may be that simple. There's no other way. You can't. I mean, you could probably stick a probe, drill a hole, and stick, you know, uh, do a probe into your head making vibrations, but also you can do it with your own sound.
Let's go back to the music for just a second, Jonathan. And that is, when you listen to good music that people find to be emotionally pleasant, what does that do for you psychically?
That's too long an answer, in terms of, they've done, of course, research with it, but music that makes you feel good is music that makes you feel good. But I want to stop for just a second and just suggest that not all music works for everybody. It's belief that we are all unique vibratory beings.
Right. I agree with that.
And just even as an example, if everything in the universe is a vibration, then penicillin is a vibration. And I would start out workshops going, okay, how many of you are allergic to penicillin? And somewhere between 5 and 20% of an audience would raise their hand. I said, okay, penicillin for 80% of you is healing, and for 20%, 5 to 20% is toxic. And I think that's a great metaphor for everything in the universe, including music and sound.
We're going to come back in a moment with Jonathan Goldman and take phone calls. His books include Chakra Frequencies, Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. His websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com, including worldsoundhealingday.org. And he's got some events that he said won't cost you a dime that you can participate in. But when we come back, we want your questions. We want your stories. And if you want to do a little hum over the phone, go ahead and do that. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Jonathan Goldman. And he's out of Boulder, Colorado, which we go to and do our Beyond Belief television shows. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.